Wednesday, May 28, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're continuing part two of a message in Matthew chapter 13 titled Jesus and the Hometown Crowd.
Under the veil of ordinariness, God has sent to us His only begotten Son. He has spoken gospel to us that we should repent and believe, and made a great announcement to the ends of the earth. And He comes to the hometown crowd and says it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Clear everything else away and hear it. Repent.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
He has no credentials. And yet, He's blowing their minds by His wisdom. You could imagine the pride involved here. James Boyce records a story, and D.L. Moody's theology wasn't always the best, but he records the story. D.L. Moody was, they said, overflowing with preaching Christ in his preaching, but everyone was confused about D.L. Moody. The newspaper writers were puzzled as to why this man, whose bad grammar reflected his grade 4 education, could fill halls with thousands of people. People were always trying to find weaknesses to discredit him. We're fascinated today with what? Well, if you want to be greatly respected today, if you want to have a platform, if you want to gain a following, you got to have the credentials. Carl Truman, a few years back, was sitting on a panel with a bunch of pastors. It was Ligon Duncan and others, and some of the big-name pastors of the day. And he challenged all of them in the middle about all these organizers of the great conferences in our country as to why we only platform the great names. He says, why don't you ever give these positions to ordinary pastors who are daily working hard to preach the gospel? And I think the answer is very clear. Few would attend. Few would attend. My personal opinion, this is one of the reasons why it's best for pastors to have, they need to be trained, they need to have an ordinary seminary training, but not to fall into the trap that the PhD is what establishes credibility. The PhD does not establish credibility. But we're enamored with it. Our country's taken by this stuff in Christianity. So the people here were judging by credentials, but not by whether the doctrine was true. We judge by credential. We've seen this with, I think you can make this case in our country. There's been a movement to move to the professionals. And I'm not against professionals. I think we need professionals. But we've seen this with the raising of children today. It's the very thing. The children go off the rails and the parents come in. We need counselors. We need therapists. We need experts to solve the problem for our children. And the right kind of assessor of this situation would say, you're the parent. They need you. They need you, and they need grandparents. See, that's ordinary. Well, John 7, this issue came up, Jesus and the Jews. How is it that this man has learning when he's never studied? And he says, I want you to judge by the one who's doing the will of God. Then you will know whether the teaching is true or whether I speak on my own authority. Listen to this. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. There comes the offense. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent me is true. What an aim. What a purpose. You judge not by credential or accreditation, see, and this is what people do, or polished presentation, or that which feeds false conceptions of validity. but by what the doctrine is, what the aim is. That's how you know what's true. The concluding statement of this section was, they were in total unbelief. Unbelief. All they knew was, this guy's a blue-collar worker. It is interesting to say some of the smartest men I've ever met, wisest men, have been farmers, by the way. They have a lot of time to plow the field so they can think. Jesus did not go get worldly accreditation to be validated. It's important. What was it about Jesus that offended them? Well, as I studied this past week, I wanted to think about some way to capture this, and there was one writer who said something I thought was profound. He said, the people of Jesus' hometown could not get past the veil of ordinariness. They could not get past it. No training, no books, no degree, no academic achievement. And we see his sisters. We see his family. Everyone knows Joseph. And I think Mark actually picks up on that as a dig. We don't even know who his real dad is. Now he comes home with this ragtag group of fishermen. Are you kidding? Fishermen? You know, fishermen of all people. The group wasn't all that attractive. Peter seemed to be a loose cannon. He's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. I mean, if these are his choices, if this is supposed to represent the kingdom of God, how can it be from God? We got to be really careful of this, I think. Jesus was a stumbling block to the hometown crowd on this account. Maybe it was just because familiarity breeds contempt. Maybe it was just because all of it had become so familiar. And they wanted something greater. See, this is all pretty familiar to us, isn't it? Christian this, Jesus this. It's been rightly said, you know, you can, especially in our culture and our situation, you can be reborn in a Reformed hospital and buried in a Reformed grave. It's all familiar. It's all familiar. And the tendency is to not listen to Jesus. Tendency is to look for something better. You know, it's interesting that Isaiah, when he prophesied about Jesus so many years before, said something that I don't know that we've considered, but I think it shows up right here. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and here it is, and we held him in low esteem. Low esteem. That's the last thing anyone wants to be held in. We all want greatness. Isn't it something? The eternal Son of God didn't come wearing the phylacteries. Trading degrees, or as if that kind of thing that would feed the people this way to think that's what makes something valid. We didn't even wear one of those little funny hats, you know, the Pope. Now I had to ask myself, do you see what unbelief is? It's exposing it. Nothing about Jesus fit into their box. Nothing about him fit nicely into what they thought legitimized him. He was always, they were always, notice this, pushing and wanted the credential and the authority to what Jesus was saying. They looked at Jesus and said, yeah, he's a boy. We remember him when he was a boy. He played with our kids. All of this was hidden by choice under the veil of ordinariness in taking on a human nature. He didn't even choose a body that outwardly attracted anyone to him. That's what Isaiah says. The very body he chose had no beauty that we should look upon him and say, wow. Isn't it something, when you think about Jesus, how he purposely chose this kind of life and how he wanted the doctrine, and think of the blessing of election, that he opened eyes for people to see him. His aim in preaching was different than anyone else's. His aim in preaching was conversion, repentance. Not to fill their head with arguing about the superfluous, fine points of the law, a law which the scribes would sit around. Remember, we just talked about scribes. What is a true scribe? He gives out of the treasure, old and new. The scribes did only the old. They sat around, and all they did was argue about the fine points of the law. They memorized 613 commandments, and they waxed eloquent and talked about what so-and-so rabbi said and what so-and-so rabbi said, and they sat around in a debate. They didn't care about the people. Now, what does this tell you of the danger that's here? The danger is that familiarity and the ordinariness, to discredit it, is a very real danger, so that we discredit what is truly from God. An unaccredited man saying that he didn't go to Yale. Think about all of us. Think of how parents are obsessed to think about, my kid's the greatest kid ever, and I'm going to get him the great, he's going to be the greatest sports hero, and then he's going to get a scholarship. He's going to go to the greatest school. We live with this. What good comes out of Fresno State? I mean, who goes to Fresno State? That's what they said about him. Good comes out of Nazareth. A lot of people, beloved, cannot get out of this kind of thinking. It's pride. And you see, Jesus came back to his hometown, and they were offended by the veil of his ordinariness. Listen to Jesus' response. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. There's the hardest soil, the hometown crowd. The hometown crowd. And listen, look at the end of this. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's the end of the section here. It's generally true that, and that's a fascinating statement. It's generally true that a prophet in his hometown will receive from them the least honor. But verse 58, he did not do many mighty works there. Why? It's not because he lacked the ability. He chose not to do works there. He chose not to do what he was doing everywhere else. We were just told that their unbelief prevented them from seeing many mighty works. In other words, he will not give anyone something that feeds this kind of mindset. And so they sacrificed themselves, seeing his power. The miracles were given to validate and to confirm the word. They sacrificed it because of this mentality. And I would say the same thing happens today. When we think a lot like this, we lose the ability to see Christ, the true power that is at work among us. Now listen, in the Word. The true power that is at work among us in the Word. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Who do we see? One of the blessedness of the Christian life is to see and hear the voice of Jesus. The power of Christ, beloved, is not found where we think it's found. I've been trying to say this my whole ministry, and I want to say it in such a way that doesn't cause people to get offended that I'm telling everyone that we're the only church that's doing it right. I never wanted to do that. I probably come off that way sometimes. I've never wanted to do that. But I've wanted to make this point. The power is bound up with the message. So that the ability to see Christ is a blessedness that comes to us as we receive that word, as it is in truth, the word of God. Aside from what we have determined makes something valid. We see Jesus through the veil of the cross. You see, as he came to his own town, he wanted for them to embrace his word. And what was that word? Well, when he preached, he had the goal that people would have their sins forgiven through a message of power that he was proclaiming in his life, death, and resurrection, that by faith and believing in him, they would be saved. You can't see that apart from divine grace. You can't see it. I want to apply that. What have you experienced as Christians? Well, where his word is received, there is real power. Where that word is humbly believed, humbly, not in pride and judging, trying to find something that I can discredit it. Maybe the pastor said a word wrong today, or just something. We fall in awe at who is speaking to us and what this is. That he made himself nothing. That he took the form of a slave for us. And that humbling himself, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's what he wants you to hear. What great news. A word spoken through weak servants that he continues, bumbling servants. We are receiving right here the power of God to save. The message of the cross, foolishness to the wisdom of men, is the power of God to save. We've been pressed with different kinds of soils, wheat and tares, parable of the treasure in the field. And then Jesus said, a true scribe out of that treasury will give you the words of eternal life, old and new. Under the veil of ordinariness, God has sent to us his only begotten Son. He has spoken gospel to us that we should repent and believe, and made a great announcement to the ends of the earth. And he comes to the hometown crowd and says it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Clear everything else away and hear it. Repent. Believe it. When you receive that word, it's true power in your life. And Jesus is willing to help you. He's coming to the home crowd to help. He was the one who had compassion on people who were as a sheep without a shepherd. Can you accept a Savior who's not great to the world, who's not going to entertain you to death? Who's going to confront you with the most pressing issues of life and make you uncomfortable about your sin so that you receive the joy of forgiveness? Can you accept that? Can you accept a Savior who was crucified, beaten and bloody, and went to the cross because of your sin? When he's preached under the veil of ordinariness, can you receive that? What do you need? What are you burdened by? What discouragements? What sins? I know some of you are deeply burdened and struggling against sin and wondering if God loves you and wondering where the help is. Well, this is the people who don't get the help because they will not believe him. Jesus came to the hometown crowd and he spoke the truth to them that they might be saved. Our Lord is so wonderful. He desires to forgive us, demonstrate mercy. The first and most important truth in the Christian gospel is to know that Jesus is willing, because of our sin, to give us mercy and forgive us. The greatest of sinners. The second great truth you must know is that you need it. May we never be like the hometown crowd, difficult, critical, complaining, always finding something to discredit what is so powerfully set before us. You won't be able to play that game with him. But may instead we celebrate who has come to us, our champion, who today has risen victorious over the grave and who is crowned with many crowns, as we'll sing, who has given to us the words of eternal life. So I close with the words of Jesus. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for this stirring text to show us a great problem of the soil of the human heart. May we remove away by your grace all those things that prevent us from hearing. And let us see Jesus. Let us hear the word that's been spoken to us. And let us respond in faith. Unlike what is shown to us here, may this hometown crowd celebrate their champion, that he's not just a mere man. He is the Son of God sent from heaven to earth and who is risen indeed to deliver us and to show us the mercy that we all need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.